we have a problem, we think, this year, and that is, how do we give thanks in difficult times? When people gather together this Thursday to thank God, to thank the source of life, to thank nature, to thank whatever it is that people want to express that hallelujah to for life and opportunity, is it particularly difficult when fires have burned and we understand how tenuous our hold is? Is it particularly difficult when the economy is crashing or melting down and we have a sense of how perilous economic times are? When people gather together, what and how are they going to give thanks? Well, the answer is given throughout human history. Go back to the first Thanksgiving, both the mythologized version and the demythologized version. What is inarguable is that the pilgrims were ill-equipped for their circumstances. I think I said that nicely. They were, if you read up and study the pilgrims, they were very intelligent people, ancestors of Unitarians. They were intellectuals. They read. That's already something. They read the Bible in the Vulgate. They read it in the Latin. Many of them read it in Greek, and many read Hebrew. These people were not ready for New England and being farmers. They were city people, often intellectuals, which we don't often put together with people who are seriously religious. They were all of those things, and they had no idea what they were doing. They had a huge death rate. Their ranks were not decimated. That means reduced by 10%. Their ranks were quadra-decimated. They lost almost half of their people. It's a sign. It's a sign that the bread is carbo-loaded. They lost almost half of their population in that first winter and in that crossing to come to this country. Life was really very difficult with, again, inarguably the help of the Native Americans, some of whom spoke English because these were not the first white folks that the Indians had seen. They had seen other religious white folks. They have seen other slave traders who captured them. But some spoke English and helped them to plant, to hunt, to survive. And so that first Thanksgiving that we celebrate, however hideously wrong things went later, was an important moment. And they're the model. How do you survive when it's freezing? How do you give thanks and praise when people are dying right and left? How do you prepare a meal for 91 visitors when you have, this is very sexist, they were not perfect people, where you have only 3 women who were fit enough to prepare the meal from the pilgrim's side of the feast? These people were weak and still they gave thanks. They had suffered persecution for their religion in England and they gave thanks. They had to flee to Holland and still they gave thanks. They came to this country, this land, and after all of the pain and all of the suffering, that meal did not guarantee their survival. It was enough food, they thought, to take them in their reduced numbers through the second winter. It did not guarantee a warm winter. It did not guarantee a comfortable winter. It did not guarantee at all an absence of disease or the absence of death, and still they gave thanks in the most difficult of times. And that goes in with the long history of human beings of all faiths. When you look at the story of the Exodus, the Hebrews come out of slavery and the whole Passover is built, and therefore the whole images of communion later on for Christians, these are built on the images of how precious freedom is. The first bread eaten in freedom, that matzah, of which we actually didn't have any for the first time this year, talks about values. What's important? When we are living in slavery and choose freedom, we are expressing our values. Even with 40 years of wandering in the desert ahead of them, and none of them would live to live in the promised land, they were still giving thanks for the opportunity to be free. That's remarkable. When in the story they're fed manna from heaven, they're not delighted. They go, ugh, what is it? Because manna is the Hebrew word for what is it? That's true. It does not become delicious to them and spiced and flavored with honey and cardamom until they give thanks. It is that attitude of gratitude that confers the value and the appreciation of what is in front of us. That's remarkable that human beings can do this, that we do it in every generation and in every faith. We figure out what is important to us. Last week, when many of you were at the Benneville and some of you had fled or were prepared to flee your homes, we talked a little bit about what you would put in the grab bag. What if you were leaving Egypt or London or Holland and going to a new life? What would you take with you? What is important in our lives? And for the most part, it wasn't about things. It was about memories. It was about the touchstones, the souvenirs, the things that mark our lives and mark our time. We're more likely to take pictures of children and an art project from grandchildren than to try to wrestle the flat screen TV into the back seat of the car. We have, in extremis, a tremendous intuition of what is important. Most of the time, when times are good, it's much more difficult to be appreciative. When things are going well, little things annoy us. But there's nothing like the prospect of being hanged in the morning to concentrate one's mind. You can be stuck in traffic on your way to work and be annoyed so that your blood pressure goes out of your ears until that job is in peril. And then the traffic is not quite the annoyance that it was before. We can be bothered by lots of little things that become suddenly unimportant when we focus at what are the enduring values of our souls. What are the enduring values of our relationships? What are the things that are truly important to us as human beings? Thomas Friedman said that a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. And it's absolutely true. We have a tremendous opportunity to take stock in our values as individuals, as communities, and as a nation, and in an interrelated global economy, and as a world. We have a chance to find out what is important and not just go along and miss the flesh pots of Egypt, but to think about what really is important. Doug Adams, the wonderful late writer of the five books of the Universe Trilogy, six books of the Universe Trilogy. It's new math. It's Arthur Anderson stuff. I don't understand it, but somehow there are six. There were five books in Asimov's Foundation Trilogy, so I just let that stuff go, like theology and the Trinity and other things that don't necessarily make sense to me. But he has a wonderful paragraph where he talks about the stages of human development from subsistence on to inquiry on really, and he doesn't use the word decadence, but decadence, and that they can be summed up in a couple of questions, which is, how shall we eat, to what shall we eat, to where shall we have lunch? And the where shall we have lunch is the stage where most of us have been for a very long time. And the bad news is, a lot of us are going to have to adjust. And the good news is, we can. Because we have in every generation, in every society, and in every culture. There will be changes in our lives over the next months and years. Some of them will be good, some of them will be difficult. That's what the pilgrims knew at that first Thanksgiving in that second year. But it is an opportunity. It is an opportunity to say hallelujah, thank goodness for life, to have a sense of appreciation for those things that we have, and to put the things that we don't have in perspective. Because when you have people to share bread with, to be with, to struggle with, to cry with, to comfort, to be comforted by, we are all truly blessed. When we get together on Thursday in our families, however they are chosen and constructed and made, however we understand them, this is not a hard time to be grateful. This is a good time to be grateful. To be grateful for what it is that we have, for what it is that is important, for the opportunity that we have to learn something about ourselves and our hearts, and to be able to do as the pilgrims did in that first Thanksgiving, to know the difference between what we desire and what we need. That, to me, is the great question at the heart of Thanksgiving. And when we find out what it is that we need, then we give thanks for that opportunity, for this life, and for each other.